Well, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me today to Philippians chapter 3, one of my favorite passages. In fact, verse 10 of this passage begins our text today, and it's one of those passages for years I have taken and tried to adapt and embrace in my life and practice on a daily basis. And so having said that, I want to share with you what I believe Paul was trying to get across to us in this particular passage. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, Paul said, "That I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." The thought I want to share with you in this passage today is pursuing the prize. Father, please speak to our hearts today. I didn't come to be seen, God. I want to share my heart. I want to share Your Word. I pray that all of us today, as individuals, whether we be student or faculty, staff, whatever our position may be, God, would look at ourselves, not our neighbor, but who we are and where we are in our pursuit of the prize and in our walk with You and in our relationship with You. And then, God, may it challenge us to be more of whom You attained or apprehended us to be. And Father, we'll honor and praise You for that. In Jesus' holy name, amen. The Apostle Paul must have had a fondness for athletics, as many of us do. He often used athletic analogies or athletic metaphors to illustrate a spiritual truth. And one of the athletic analogies is that of a runner running a race. The runner to him is the picture of the Christian, and the race is the Christian life. In the text that I just read to you, we see the goal or the prize that Paul is pursuing in the Christian life. This goal is so important to him that he gives the maximum effort in pursuing the prize. You say, Pastor Blankenship, what is the prize? Well, I want to get that to you today, but I'm aware of where I am. I'm aware that in a setting like this, being in a college and whether a student or a staff member or faculty member, that sometimes we just can, if we're not careful, we get in the routine of things. And routines are not bad things. They can be good things, but we do things out of duty rather than out of devotion. And I want to challenge you today to look at your life, no matter where you fit in the spectrum. Am I just going through the motions because it's my duty to do this? It's my duty to study. It's my duty to learn. It's my duty to pass this test. It's my duty to fulfill my requirements. Is it my duty to prepare my lessons? Is it my duty to teach these students? Or has God given me a privilege and an opportunity to give my life for the purpose of training young men and women to His glory and praise? I want to challenge us today. I want to challenge us to resolve, to renew, and to revive our commitment to pursue the prize. Paul's pursuit was to know Christ. Notice what he said in verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Now, a lot of us, when we quote that verse, we usually stop somewhere right around that point. I want to know Him. I want to know Him in His power. I want to know Him in His fellowship. But we stop when it comes to the point where we should know Him in His sufferings. We should be made conformable unto His death. You see, I believe that the secret to a holy life is to know Christ in a more personal, intimate basis. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who know about Christ, but they've yet to develop a personal, intimate relationship with Him. We have a label, I'm a Christian, I'm a servant of God, but we're not living the life that God has called us to live on His behalf. You see, we'll never live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, a holy life, without a dedication to the purpose, the life purpose of knowing Jesus Christ intimately. You see, Paul's goal, his number one passion was Christ. He met Him on the road of Damascus and he began to pursue everything there was to know about Him. You see, there's a difference in meeting someone and knowing someone. To know someone with a genuine interest takes more than a day or two. It's a lifetime of intimately sharing your life with that person. I've been married 41 years. I married my high school sweetheart. Miss Peggy is just a tremendous pastor's wife. She's also my secretary, so I run around with the secretary at our church. And I just wanted to see if you were listening. But she does everything she can to make me look good, and that's a task. That is a tremendous task. But after 41 years, I'm still learning things about Miss Peggy. She's my sweetheart. I love her with all of my heart. But I'm still growing in that relationship with her. And we're at that empty nest place, you know, in our life. Our children are adults, and we have 6 grandbabies now, and we love that. We enjoy that. I kind of like the empty nest. I don't grieve over that. I kind of enjoy it. I've done my part, and I don't mean to be cold about that. But we're renewing that thing, you know? We're renewing those first 3 years that we had together as a married couple without children. And now it's back to just she and I. And we're just enjoying it. What am I trying to say? It takes more than a day. It takes more. You say, well, I've been a Christian for 10 years. Hallelujah. How much do you know about Jesus? I've been serving God for 20 plus years. I think that's wonderful. But how much do you know about Christ? How closely are you walking with Him? You see, Paul wanted to know Him. Knowing Him was his main goal in life. He wanted to know the one who knew everything about all of us. He wanted to know the one who created and controls the universe, the one who knows all things, who has all power, who knows us better than we know ourselves, who loves us unconditionally, who forgives us and who sanctifies us, who's patient and kind and gracious with us, who's eternal and gives eternal life to those who trust in Him. Surely there could be no greater goal in life than to know Jesus Christ in a personal and intimate way. See, to know Him means that we must spend time with Him, listen to Him, respond to Him, and talk with Him. You say, Pastor, we're in a Christian college. We're in a Bible college. Well, that's all we do. Maybe, but how personal is it? How intimate is it? You see, as we grow in our love for Christ, we'll begin to grow in Him. And then we'll begin to love as He loves. And we'll begin to think as he thinks, and we'll begin to act as he acts, and we'll begin to talk as he talked. And the Bible says that's what God's desire is for us. Notice what he said in verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The day is going to come either by death or by the rapture. We're going to see him face to face. And we'll be with him and fully like him for all of eternity. But can I help you with something today? We're not there yet. We haven't arrived yet. We're not transformed into his glorious likeness as of yet. So we don't know all there is to know about Christ. We haven't fully embraced him in all of his glory and power as of yet. However, as a born-again believer into the family of God, we ought to have a hunger for him, a thirst for him, a desire to become more like him. As a pastor, at this stage in my ministry, 39 years of pastoring, I've come to learn that the one thing that I need to give more of my life to is his word and to him. And several years ago when Miss Peggy and I made the move back to North Carolina, we'd been here 12 years, we left for 9 years in Tennessee, and came back in 2009, I told her as we were making this trip back to North Carolina, I said, God's been dealing with my heart lately. And she said, well, what's that mean? What do you mean? I said, well, he's telling me he wants more of me. She said, what possibly could you give more than you're given? And she thought physically or ministry-wise, creating new ministries or whatever that case was. But no, and I said to her, what God wants of me is more of me. Are you with me? He wants more of you. He wants more of your heart. He wants more of your mind. He wants more of your love. He wants more of your life. What God wants from you is all of you. And Paul understood that. In verse 14, he said, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That word press here means I pursue. I chase it. I'm running after it. Paul said, my desire for the prize is greater than it's ever been in my life. He said, I'm running after the prize. I'm chasing after the prize. I don't have time to look back. I don't have time to stop. I got to get the prize. I'm chasing the goal for which Christ has set for my life. Number one, all of that was intro. A lot of info in the intro. I want us to consider our condition. Notice what he says in verse 12. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. It's not our position as believers that Paul's talking about here. No, our salvation is eternally fixed by the grace of God through faith in Christ. What Paul is talking about in this passage is our condition. Our condition needs to improve because we haven't yet become all that God desires us to be. We haven't become all that we should be. We haven't become all that we can be. We haven't become all that we desire to be, all that God created us to be, all that God called us to be. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Paul had accomplished a great deal for Christ by this point in his life. After his salvation experience, he went straight to Arabia and thought through and studied through the Old Testament truth in light of the cross of Christ. He evangelized Arabia, Tarsus, Cilicia. He went to Antioch at the urging of Barnabas and made a great impact on that wicked city. He evangelized the islands of Cyprus and founded a string of churches in Galatia and Iconia and Lystra and Derbe, and championed the cause of Christian liberty. He helped elders of Jerusalem to understand that the Gentiles didn't need to become Jews in order to be Christians. And Paul pioneered the work at Europe, and he planted churches in Philippi, Berea, Thessalonica, Corinth. He preached on Mars Hill to that great crowd of intellectuals. He evangelized Ephesus. He established churches in Asia Minor, which reached out and planted other churches to the glory of God. Paul influenced a score of young men to follow his example in preaching Christ and pastoring churches. He suffered hardships, joy in his heart with a song on his lip. He had been beaten and scourged and shipwrecked, imprisoned, stoned and mobbed by the angry crowd. Yet Paul wrote, not as though I'd already attained, either already perfect. If Paul were to make such a statement, after all of those experiences, that I might know him, because I haven't attained all, I haven't apprehended all that he has apprehended me for. If Paul, after all of those things, were to make such a statement, where are we? Where are we? I mean, you say, well, I've been serving God for years. Have you done all that God wants you to do? Well, Pastor, I'm studying to be a missionary. Wonderful, but are you willing to give God everything you have? I want to be a pastor. Wonderful. Are you willing to die to yourself in order to pastor a group of people that God has entrusted you with? You see, if you and I are content with where we are in our relationship with Christ, there's nothing more for us to pursue. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians will die without apprehending that for which they've been apprehended by Christ Jesus. But some 20, 30 years after Paul's ministries, he said, I'm not what I ought to be. I've not done all that I need to do for Christ. I haven't done all that needs to be done. And after 39 years, I compare me or my ministry with that of the Apostle Paul, but just looking and examining my own life, I haven't quite done it all yet. We're always starting something at our church. We're always launching into a new ministry or trying to expand the work that God has given us to do at Promised Land Baptist Church. But I come to understand, I haven't yet arrived. After 39 years, I don't know it all. I haven't accomplished all that I need to accomplish. And spiritual contentment is a dangerous place to be, because it's then that we stop admitting our weaknesses, which causes us to cease to pursue what Christ has apprehended us for. Paul said, not as though I'd already attained. I haven't obtained it, he said. I haven't received it yet. I haven't grasped it yet. I haven't seized it all. There's more to acquire. There's more to attain. There's more to obtain. Paul, don't you have a knowledge of Christ? Yes, I have his righteousness, but I don't know all that I need to know about him. Paul, don't you have the power of Christ on your life? Yes, but not perfectly enough, because I still have faults and failures in my life. Paul, don't you have the glory of Christ? Yes, in me dwells the Spirit of God fully, but I'm not what I will one day be. I haven't attained all the glory until I'm in the presence of Christ. And so we need to consider our condition as Christians. Number two, we need to consider our contentment. Notice what he said in verse 12 again. But I follow after. There's something he's pursuing. I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I'm not there yet, he said. I'm chasing after. And so Paul was committed to running with all of his might to pursue the prize. He was running to win. He was fighting the good fight. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to keep our eyes on Christ, and we need to run, and we need to run, and we need to run. When you go home and you're back in your home church and your pastor's running, you just get behind him. Pastor, where are you going? I'm pursuing the things of Christ. Pastor, how can I help? I want to run with you. I want to go with you. I need to chase after the things of Christ in my life. What's he after? He said, that I may apprehend that for which I'm apprehended. He's after a prize. He's after something specific. His goal is to seize and to grasp the prize. What's the prize? Here it is in verse 12. That which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He's pursuing the very thing for which Christ pursued him. He wanted the same thing that Christ wanted for him. Paul's goal in life was the same goal that Christ had for him. You say, well, what is it? What's the price? What's his purpose? Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Watch what it says. That to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Why are we saved? You say, well, we're saved for heaven. Yes, that's the blessing of salvation. Why are we saved? Why did God draw us? Why are we here? To make us like his Son. What's the ultimate goal? What will happen when we reach heaven's glorious shores? We will be transformed into his very likeness. So why are we here? Why are we saved? We're saved to be as much like Christ as possible. That's our purpose for which we are saved. I believe in soul winning. I practice being a witness for Christ. I believe in missions. Our church is heavily involved in mission endeavors. We're building a work in the country of Nicaragua. I haven't been able to go for a while because of the COVID experience, but I long to go back. I have a heart for the work that we're doing there. And we're actually building a church. Our church has taken on the full responsibility of that work. And we have other missionaries, and some from here. One of the best missionaries I personally that's come out of Ambassador is Brother Shields, Brother Matt Shields. I mean, who's doing the work that Matt Shields doing? I mean, you want a mission conference, bring a guy like that in. He's doing some things for God. And what a tremendous family that God has blessed. We have a heart for missions. So I'm not minimizing any of those things. But what I'm saying is our purpose in life is to be Christ-like. You see, once I attain that goal, or as I strive for that prize, those things become automatic. Witnessing becomes automatic. Giving to missions becomes automatic. Going to the field becomes automatic. Why? Because I'm becoming like him. That's the goal. That's the purpose of our life. So Paul was pursuing with all his might the very thing for which Christ pursued him. And that ought to be our purpose. His goal for me ought to be my goal for my life. It's a worthy goal, is it not? Of course it is. Number three. So how many we got? Four. Hang in there. Consider our concentration. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, usually that's a New Year's Eve sermon. But it ought to be an everyday sermon. It ought to be an everyday passage. I haven't grasped it all, he said. I haven't achieved it all yet. I've not yet arrived. I'm not at the goal. I haven't obtained all of that I need to obtain. However, there's a passion. And Paul said, this one thing I do. Notice his passion, his focus, his unbelievable concentration was his commitment to follow after Christ. You can be an athlete just by being on the team. But you won't be a great athlete unless you're focused on becoming a great athlete. You see, like Paul, we must concentrate on one thing in life. That's to be all that Christ apprehended us to be for Him. And when Christ becomes the thing that compels us through life, then we're moving in the right direction. And if we are to be concentrated on winning the prize, then there's something very important we must do. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth for those things which are before. When we will struggle to win if we're always looking back over our shoulders. We can keep our eyes on the finish line. I'm a runner. I know that seems impossible to you. But I run a 5K three times a week on the average. And I run 3 miles. I ran yesterday morning. Today's a break. Tomorrow I'll get up and go run again. And where I live, there's just hills. And so I challenge myself. I never walk a hill. I have to run. Now, when I say I'm a runner, that means I run about a 12 and a half minute pace. So I'm not running near as fast as you, but I'm 62 years old. So if you see me post one day that I ran 3 miles and my average pace was 13 minutes, I'm 62. What's your reason? Hello? So I run. I run not to be skinny. That's never going to happen. I run to be healthy. We say, well, is that not an oxymoron? Not really. I just want my heart to keep pumping. Amen? Both my parents had heart disease. The doctor looked at me and said, you're next. I thought, well, I need to do something. And so I run. I'm not Forrest Gump, but I run. I run, and I we do that. And so as a runner, I'm never looking behind me. I'm always looking ahead of me. I know what 1.6 tenths miles is, and when I reach that, I turn and I run, and I have one goal, and that's to get back home. I'm not thinking about anything else. I just need to get home. I want to get home, and so I'm running. I'm not looking back where I was. I'm not looking to see who's behind me. I'm just running. I'm trying to reach my goal. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. What things? Everything. We must forget our past victories and our past losses. We must forget the times we were hurt and wounded. If we're going to win the prize, we must get past it and stay focused. You say, Pastor, how do we do that? The same grace that saved us sustains us, strengthens us, enables us to keep our focus on Christ. You see, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things, stay focused, concentrate on the race. Whatever you're here for, stay focused. If you believe that God has called you to be an evangelist, decide, I want to be the best evangelist that God's ever had. You don't have to compete with Brother Bill. You don't have to compete with Brother Comfort. You just need to be the best person that God called you to be. If God's called you to be a pastor and you want to be a good pastor, then focus and dedicate yourself and devote yourself and pursue the prize and study, because one day God's going to entrust you with His flock and you must be prepared. If God's called you to be a missionary, then focus on being a missionary and focus on what you're going to give of yourself and how you're going to give of yourself. Don't look for the easy path. Go for the path that God has called you to go. You see, we need to ask ourselves, what is my focused concentration? What is it that I'm focused most on in life? And I understand. I'm 62, but I haven't forgotten my younger years. I understand that you want to find that right person. I understand that. Well, you better focus on that a little bit. You wouldn't want to find the wrong one. Amen? See, I have some personal goals in my life. I have some goals as a pastor. After all these years, I still set goals for my life. I want to be healthy. I want to be happy. And I want to be holy. I want to build a strong church that honors Christ. And Miss Bailiff will tell you, there's rarely a week that goes by at Promised Land Baptist Church that this pastor doesn't challenge his people to stay in the Word of God and to be Christ-like and to love as Christ. I'm not about being a mean independent Baptist preacher. If that's who you want to be, go ahead, knock yourself out. I'm just not going to attach my wagon to that. We get these phone calls, you know. Well, do you all do this or do you all do that? Or are you a KJV only? Are you a this or are you that? And after a while, I just want to say, look, we're probably not the church you're looking for. If my church has to meet all of these requirements in order for you to be there, we're probably not the church you're looking for. But if you're looking for a church where you can be nurtured and fed the truth of God's Word, where you can be led to worship God in spirit and in truth, where you can be challenged to give your life to the glory of God and to honor the Lord and to become who God called you to be, then we might just be that place that you're looking for. You see, I don't have time to fit everybody else's mold. I'm sorry. I just have time to fit the mold that Christ called me to fit. Amen? I'm working on it. Number four, you were waiting. Consider, I got to hurry. Consider a continuous effort. I press, verse 14, toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We must continually bear down on the goal. What's the goal? What did we say it was? It was to be like Christ. We need to run to win the prize. What's the prize? Every day I run the Christian race, I'm pursuing the prize of being like Christ. That's why He apprehended me. That's the goal of my life. And it should become your goal as well. What's my motivation? I just can't get past 2 Corinthians 5:14. Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. We therefore judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. Paul said, it's the love of Christ that motivates me. Love of Christ. There's more. It's an upward call. If God is so gracious and willing to give you or I the opportunity to serve Him, then He deserves the best that we can give Him. I'm a hillbilly. If you've gone through the hills of West Virginia, you might just have traveled through some places that I've been. I grew up in the coal fields of West Virginia. A little town called Man, M-A-N, West Virginia. A little in a county of Logan, L-O-G-A-N, Logan County. I lived in a community called Kistler, K-I-S-T-L-E-R. I lived up a holler called Bengal Holler. That's where God saved me. That's where God called me. If God will come to Bengal Holler and save a little hillbilly like me, the least I can do is give Him my best and to pursue the prize for which He apprehended me. Notice verse 15 and 16. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, hereto we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Every Christian ought to have the same mind, the same attitude, the same desire of pursuing Christ. See, and I promise, I'm almost finished. Christianity is not a spectator sport. I love although I'm a little put out with the professional ball, I love sports. But like you, I it's easy for me to sit in my living room and watch it on TV and tell the coach he did a bad call. What was he thinking? Can we not get a better quarterback? Well, we got a good quarterback if the receiver could just catch the ball. Well, it's easy to sit where I sat on Sundays or Mondays and be that person. But that's not Christianity. You know what we do? We go to church and we criticize the ministries of our church. We criticize the music program of our church. We criticize the way our pastor leads the congregation. Or we criticize. It's easy. We become spectators. You know, spectators never really accomplish anything but criticism. They never run the race. Now, you might drive up Hoffman Road one Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, and you might see this chubby old man running up the road in a yellow shirt because I want to be seen. And you might say, dude, you'd think he could pick it up a little bit, but you're not running. Hello? Stop being a spectator. Get in the race. Start running for the prize. You see, when you start running for the prize, which is Christ-like, everything changes. You start seeing people as He sees them. You start loving people like He loves them. You start forgiving those that hurt you or left you wounded. Your church begins to grow spiritually, numerically, and financially. You start supporting missionaries. You weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. He said, Pastor, where do we begin? The Word of God? Well, if I'm going to know Him, but I get in here. So we're college students, we're forced to read. Then read because you want to. Get to know Him. Next time you open your Bible and begin to read, don't read because it's a class that you've got to take. Read because you want to know Him. Look for Him. Ask yourself, why did He say that? Why is He doing that? What is that about? What did He mean by that? Get to know Him. Get to know how He touched people, how He loved the people that no one else wanted to love, how He ministered to people that nobody else wanted to minister to. Are you in the race? Are you running for the prize? Don't quit. I'll let you read verse 20 and 21. Don't quit until you obtain the prize for which you've been apprehended. Father, You know the heart of every person in this room today. I don't know. I just know that when Brother Bill asked me to come, that this was what You put on my heart to do. And I claim no divine inspiration. I don't have that. Lord, I just want to be led and I want to be faithful. I want to challenge Your people, Your servants, to examine their own life and where they are, their condition, their concentration, their focus, their commitment. May You speak to our hearts today, Father, as only You can. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Beal.